We've been looking this morning about a subject of God's grace and trying to look at it from a standpoint of something that's given in the Bible. A story that we can read from the Old Testament about David and how he had decided to, had made a promise to Jonathan and decided to take Mephibosheth as one of his. We find from the beginning that Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, was separated from God. From David, and we were separated from God. And he's afraid. We see that he falls down, and David tells him, "Don't be afraid." And sometimes we're just fearful of God, and we should be. Fear not him that destroyed the body, but fear him to destroy both body and soul in hell. That should be a prompting, but we should understand that he's going to be there for us. And of course, he gets a little defensive at first because he doesn't know why he's been brought there, and he certainly, like the rest of us, thinking, "Well, this is not going to end real well for me." And sometimes we're like that with God. We have all these reasons why. And he came from Lodabar, which was meant desolate or barren. And we come from a desolate place. And then the meaning. David looked for someone to show grace to. God does for us. The Mephibosheth had no value to David. And we certainly in that sense have no value to God. It's on the basis of someone else. And it is done on the basis of the merits of someone else. Just like it was with Mephibosheth. He told him it was because of Jonathan that he was doing this. And so that's the same way it does with us with Christ. And then David helped a man who couldn't help himself. We find out that he was crippled and was not able to help himself. So I was thinking as I was sitting back there about all the, certainly appreciate all the young from a very few months on up to 80 plus years old. Because we are all children in God's sight. None of us ever get beyond that. And in thinking about that, I was reminded of a passage in Psalms, the 103rd Psalm, that I thought would go real well with this, what we're studying. He talks about human beings and he says in this that we have a problem. We have sin. And he says in verse 11, "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust." And this fear is certainly having that reverence for God that we should continue to have throughout our life. So we talked about those four points of why it's very important to us today and why we need to know that. We're going to go back to 2 Samuel 9 and we're going to look at the effects of this grace. That it is more than just being extended to him. This is such a powerful message to each and every one of us. What do you think it was like when he was told, "He shall eat at my table like one of the king's sons"? This young man who, in and of himself, couldn't help himself. And here he is with Nathan. Here he is with Absalom. And with the rest of the sons of David. These young men who were very powerful in this kingdom. These young men perfectly healthy. It talks about Absalom, how good looking he was, and how he stole away the hearts of the people. And here he is sitting with him. As if he is equal to them. What do you think about being the table with God's son? Have you ever thought about what we've been brought to? We could talk about the Lord's Supper, certainly, and we could say, what a beautiful thing, as was read in our presence from Mark 14. Matthew 26 and Luke 22 say the same things, that I will not drink this again with you until it is in my Father's kingdom, or in my kingdom. And we find that, sure, they sat down with him, and we can do it as well in a figurative sense. But in Revelation 3, 20 through 21, such a powerful passage. Talking to the Laodiceans, and he was very concerned about their lack of spirituality, their lukewarmness, their inability to see beyond the present. They're thinking they were rich and had all of these things. And doesn't it go back to what I said earlier about the view we have of ourselves and why we don't want to come to God? We think we're okay. Well, these Laodiceans thought they were fine. They thought they needed nothing, he said. But he goes on and he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice," he says to them, "and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." And the figurative thing about the Father and the Son. Think of the beauty of this. We get to eat with the Father's Son. We can dine with him all of our life. In so many ways, in John 14, 22 and 23, Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world?" Well, we need to know this. How is this going to happen in our lives? And Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. We will come to him and make our home with him." Isn't this beautiful? His grace says, The effects of it is, I will come and dine with you. I will come and eat with you. I will be with you. You can sit down as one of the sons or daughters of God. What a beautiful thought. On the basis of grace. Do you think that Mephibosheth ever lost his gratitude? Do you think that he ever thought about this and thought, I need more. This is not good enough. I don't think so. Should we ever lose our gratitude for God and what He's done for us? In the 100th Psalm, verse 4, serve the Lord with gladness. This is actually a song that we sing sometimes. Come before His presence with singing. Know the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him. And bless His name, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. And that's why I'm so appreciative. Today, people said, thank you, God. Please ask the person that's leading in prayer to thank God for a prayer answer. Our thankfulness should always be there. We don't deserve His answers that we receive from Him that are always positive. But we get them. 2 Corinthians 4:15, and talking about the apostles and all that they had done for everyone. And He said, for all things are for your sake, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Wouldn't it cause us to be thankful every day of our lives? To realize that it is on the basis of His grace that we survive and that we have all of these spiritual blessings. Eating there and being treated like royalty, though, did not take away from His being crippled. You know, it didn't make him physically whole. But I tell you what it did do for him. It did a wonderful thing. Because can you imagine as he dragged himself to that table? You know he was reminded of this. You know that this never went away for him and that everyone present was reminded as well that this young man had been crippled because of something that had happened previously in his life when he was 5 years old that he had no control over? Well, what about us? We still sin. We're not perfect. We are coming before God as if all the time we are not that perfected person we should be. That's why we continually ask His forgiveness and His help in our life. We want to be that way. In Romans 8:15 through 17, for you do not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. It is His grace that brings us there. We need to be reminded, though, that we still have a problem. We eat at the Lord's table in spite of our condition. Not because we fully overcome sin or become sinless, or we perfected ourselves in that we never do anything wrong ever again. We must never ever forget our dependence on God and our need for forgiveness. Just like Mephibosheth never did. Forget. I do not speak as one that comes before you and speaks down on you because I can. I am a sinner who's been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. I still have to work on my life every day, just like you do. None of us can look at the other person and say, oh, I've got it all together, but you don't. It's not the way it works. The only one that had that was Jesus Christ. Every time Mephibosheth put his feet under David's table, he hid his condition. The blood of Jesus Christ hides it. Come from the loathful ways of sin. Hide you in the blood of Jesus was a song we used to sing from another book. We're the same. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that takes away all of our sins in 1 John 1:7. Not because I'm worthy of it, not because, but because of a promise He made. He keeps that promise. And I can hide my condition in His blood. It can never be known. Now, oh yeah, there may be some people out there who will be more than happy to point out my sins to you and to other people, and that happens. But I'll tell you what, He hid them. He hid them in His blood. When I became obedient to Him in baptism, I put on Christ. I was fully clothed. I was able to hide my condition. That condition was gone. He erased it, took it completely away, so that it could not be seen. Regardless of what other people might think, it is gone. I don't care what people think I just care what God thinks. And I care about His grace and His mercy. Just like Mephibosheth did. He didn't worry about what others might think. He only concerned himself with what David and how David treated him. Do you think Mephibosheth was grateful? Do you think he ever praised David to anyone else? Do you think Mephibosheth went around and go, "Boy, that David, he just don't give me enough. That David, all he gave me was the land back and gave me some servants and lets me eat at his table, and that's not enough." You think he ever did that? No, I think that dead dog realized what he had. You think he'd ever double-cross David? His gratitude is recorded later in 2 Samuel 16, though, 1 through 4. We find that something that happens. Now, this isn't where it's recorded, so you'll just have to bear with me. We find that when David is being run out of the city by Absalom, that there he leaves, and there's Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth. And he met him, and he had all these things with him. He had prepared well, Ziba had. And so he says, "Well, what do you mean by these things?" in verse 2. And well, he said, "Well, the donkeys are for the king's household to ride on, the bread and the summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine for those who are faint in the wilderness to drink." Well, the king said, "Well, where's your master's son?" And Ziba said to the king, "Well, indeed, he's staying in Jerusalem. For he said, 'Today the house of Israel will restore the kingdom of my father to me.'" He double-crossed him, right? He gave it up, didn't he? He said, "I'll get my kingdom back." Really? The king said to Ziba, "Here, all that belongs to Mephibosheth is yours." He took his word for it. And Ziba said, "I humbly bow before you that I may find favor in your sight, my lord, O king." Wow, seems like things, he has been fully double-crossed. Thank you. Ziba's lying. He's not telling the truth. This is not a man who was telling the truth. Here's a man who had been given a bunch of things by David as well, but he doesn't appreciate them like Mephibosheth does. When Absalom's overthrow failed, David goes back to Jerusalem. And he meets Mephibosheth. And let's go to the 19th chapter and let's see what happens. Verse 24 through 30 of this chapter. 24 through 30. "Now Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king. And he had not cared for his feet, nor trimmed his mustache, nor washed his clothes, from the day of the king departed to the day he came back in peace." Does that sound like a man that was going to take over the government? Does that sound like a man who was going to overthrow everything and get the kingdom back? "So it was when he came to Jerusalem to meet the king. The king said to him, 'Why did you not go with me, Mephibosheth?' And he answered, 'My lord, O king, my servant deceived me. For your servant said, I will saddle a donkey for myself that I may ride on and go to the king, because your servant is lame. And he has slandered your servant to my lord the king. But my lord the king is like the angel of God. Therefore, do what's good in your sight, or your eyes. For all of my father's house were but dead men before my lord the king. Yet you set your servant among those who eat at your own table. Therefore, what right have I to set the crowd any more to the king? Why do I continue to get your grace? I'll admit I'm not deserving of it." The king said to him, "Why do you speak any more of these matters? I have said you and Ziba divide the land." Then Mephibosheth said to the king, "Rather, let him take it all. Inasmuch as my lord the king has come back in peace to his own house." Wow. Do you see how grace works? Do you see that if it's extended to us, we understand the power of it? Here's a man, Ziba, who deserves exactly what Mephibosheth would have deserved. And Mephibosheth says, "No, I'm going to treat him like you treated me. He can have it all. All I want is what you've given me to sit at your table." He remembered David's grace. He says to him, "What right do I have to cry out to the king anymore?" You ever feel like that when you cry out to God, you're not deserving anymore? You ever ask him one more time, "Please forgive me," and you think to yourself, "Will he do it this time? Am I deserving of it? Look how I treated someone else. Am I deserving of His grace when I'm not really gracious to other people, when I'm not a forgiving person?" when I don't treat others well? A true recipient of grace will always be indebted to the one who showed him kindness. How much do I owe to God? We started out with Matthew 18 and we talked about that huge sum that was owed the king. How much do I owe him? Could you put it in numbers? Could you tell me afterwards, how much is it that Abe owes him? You can't. You can't come up with anything big enough. That person will exhibit faithfulness always. This man was faithful to him to the very end. This man looked at him and he said, I don't deserve this, but I will remain faithful to you. Please understand, I have never, ever turned against you. Ever. He left me here. I couldn't do anything about it. Regardless of how he was treated by others, and this is the other side of it, he never, ever, ever blamed it on God. This man never blamed it on David, should have said. And we never blame it on God. We just treat that other person right. Even when things went against him, he wasn't complaining. He didn't say, David, I don't get it. You left me. I didn't leave you. But that's not what had happened. Do we have that spirit? When things don't go our way, are we aware of the magnitude of God's grace, or do we demand our rights? Just how gracious are we? How do we extend our grace? How do we look at others? Because we will be judged on how we treat others. Because what could I do to God? Nothing other than mistreat those that are around me. Well, this will help us in our attitude toward others. In 2 Samuel 19:30, look at his graciousness. You just give it to Ziba. I'm not worried about it. I don't need the land. I don't need all of that. I don't even care about all of that. If Ziba wants that so bad, just let him have it. Doesn't he remind you what Christ said? If someone demands this of you, just go ahead and give them this. Don't worry about it. I'm the one that'll take care of you. I'm the one that's gracious. I'm God. I'll give you what you need. You never have to concern yourself about that. We could certainly use that type of attitude. I believe we would do just exactly what Christ said. We'd go that extra mile. He said if a soldier demands that you go with him a mile, you go with him another mile. You show him. That's okay. I'll do it. And this is what it is. Grace brings about a new position for its recipient. You see, we went from being in a terrible condition to this wonderful place before God, being called the sons of God, having our sins removed as far as the east is from the west, continuing to do that all of my life, continuing to extend His grace to me even though I can never in any way say I am deserving of this, and I deserve the right to be a son of God. And it covers our true condition. The blood of Jesus Christ takes away and covers all sin. Well, what about those horrible ones? Which ones? Isn't that all of them? Isn't that every sin that I've ever committed? Oh, well, some are worse than others. Really? No. They all separate me from God. But He brought me back through His Son. And it should produce in us total loyalty to God. And so much gratitude. Now, when someone says to us, how did you get this? We say to them, by the grace of God. How did you get your car, your clothes, your house? By the grace of God. How did you get your salvation? By the grace of God. And it will also result in faithfulness. I will be faithful to that. Just like He was faithful to David, I will be faithful to God. I will never ever let someone come between me and God. I will never let a Ziba take away my happiness. I'm going to be happy and I'm going to be grateful. And we should never, ever let another person take that away from us. And in particular, I should never let the person of Abe Martin take that away from me. Because that's the one that does it. In Romans 6, 1 through and 2, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No. No way. God forbid. Certainly not. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? I should never be said to continue to live in sin. With my sins, I better make them right. I better continue to do things in my life and pray to God for my forgiveness. But if I am determined to live in sin, then I will not have his grace extended to me. If Mephibosheth had been determined not to accept David's grace, he wouldn't have received it, despite the fact that Jonathan had asked. Despite the fact that Christ asks on the cross that everyone's sins be forgiven, I will not receive it unless I come and take advantage of that. So here's some questions. Why do we claim to be Christians? Why do we claim to be Christ-like? Do we understand what we're saying about that and about the grace that we received as a result of that? And today, why are we here? Why did you come? Well, I'm told to. I hope not. I hope not. I hope you came because you wanted to. I hope you came because you needed to be here, because you understood the wonderful opportunity that you could have being together. For those beautiful songs that we sing, for the prayers that were lifted up to God today, for meeting around the Lord's table, for being able, in some small way, to help the work here with some financial needs that we have. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Because of the grace of God, we're all able to do that. And last but not least, hopefully, something from God's Word that I presented or someone else presented in a class that was so beneficial to you today. Isn't that why you're here? Isn't really the reason you're here is because of the grace of God? That's what it really boils down to. Oh, it was me. No. No, you see, I got my day today because God gave it to me. I got my salvation today because God gave it to me. I got the ability to be with you today because God gave it to me. Not because I earned it. Not because I'm such a great person. Not because I thought this up and I thought this is a wonderful thing to do. It's on the basis of His grace only. Why do we assemble? That's why. Why are we working so hard to have a place to assemble? Why do we care? I mean, it's good enough. Because everyone here wants God's grace to be extended to other people as well. We want a place where we can spend some of our funds to extend our grace to some of the older people so that they don't have to walk up and down the stairs. Is it a minor thing? Sure. That is till you get to be 80-something years old and it's hard. And so why can't some of the younger of us, we younger people, with our bad knees and everything else going on, why can't we spend a little bit of what we have to help? What's wrong with that? Well, it's only wrong if we misuse God's grace and we do things beyond. Just like a Ziba, we have to understand what it's all, or just like a Mephibosheth, we have to understand what it's all about. Why don't we try to teach others? Because we receive God's grace freely. And so as we look out and we see others who have not taken, and I use this all the time, taken advantage of it. He wants us to. Mephibosheth took advantage of David's grace. And we need to take advantage of God's, and we need to let other people know about that. Are we ashamed of it? I don't think so. So then let's proclaim it. Why do we visit others? Why do we go and do that? In their needs. Because again, God's grace, He visited us through His Son. So, are we here because we think we have to, or because we want to? If you're here because you have to, I'm going to be like my dad. Keep coming till you change your mind. Are we here because we fear condemnation, or because we're grateful for salvation? Have you ever thought about that? Is it because we're fearful of condemnation? Is it because we don't... I've heard people say, I'm scared of hell. That's okay. But get the other side of it down. It's His grace is what we're looking at. It's His salvation that's extended. Accept it. Have confidence in God, in your salvation, not in you. And then things will be fine. And you'll have confidence that He's coming. Are we here because we love ourselves? Or because we love the One who died for us? Mephibosheth was there because of the love of One who gave him that opportunity first. Ask Mephibosheth. He'll tell you. He did. He told us. And we have it today. Take advantage of God's grace and Christ's will and do His will. I'll tell you what. I wish... Maybe that's bad terminology. Let's see if I can rephrase that. It is my hope and desire to get people to understand more each day, and in particular, one person the grace of God, and that's me. As I said in the morning class, many of you weren't up here. It's hard for me. It's hard for me to understand completely the great love of Jesus Christ. It's hard for me to understand that He was willing as deity to come in the form of sinful man and to die on that cross again for a dead dog like me. What did I do to deserve that? Absolutely nothing. But I'm going to tell you something. Have a little fear today if you're not a Christian. If you haven't accepted God's grace, please today let this be the day of salvation. If you have any needs, we'd be glad to assist you. Would you please stand?